Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, July 12, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 3, page 40, and more about alcoholism. We're starting with that first paragraph, beginning with, we heard no more of Fred for a while. We're going to be reading that one paragraph only. It ends with flat on his back. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Karen B. for the 12 Steps, Athena B. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Julie E. B., Janice P. M., and Dawn B. Our newcomer greeter today is Mo H., and Leslie W. will be doing our announcements. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, July 11th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,144. That's 13144. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, July 12th, 2019, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,146. That's 13146. The OA pre-emblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Karen B. to read our 12 steps of OA. Karen?
Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity to serve. This is Karen B. in Utah, and I learned this morning this group is going on 7 years old. That's really exciting. I've not even been here a year, and I've been so blessed. So thank you to those founders and those who run the meetings. Okay, the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to serve this morning.
Thank you, Karen B., for your service today. And Athena B., please read our 12 traditions of OA. Athena?
Good morning, everybody. Athena B. from Northern California, and these are our traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
And thank you, Athena B., for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and that includes your mute button, so please use the star 1 to mute and unmute. Thank you so much. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 40. We're in the More About Alcoholism, which is in chapter 3. We're on page 40, paragraph 1, beginning with, "We heard no more of Fred for a while." We're going to read through that one paragraph only. And comments will be on that one paragraph. So, Julie E.B., could you please begin reading?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. We heard no more of Fred for a while. One day we were told he was back in the hospital. This time he was quite shaky. He soon indicated that he was anxious to see us. The story he told was most instructive. For here was a chap absolutely convinced he had to stop drinking, who had no excuse for drinking, who exhibited splendid judgment and determination in all his other concerns, yet he was flat on his back nonetheless. Well, the first sentence that grabs me, "We heard no more of Fred for a while." So when I'm in the food, you don't hear from me. When I'm in the food, I'm checking out a life. When I'm in the food, I'm hiding in my room. I'm not available to my family, to my friends, and to you, my fellows. And you're going to hear no more of me. In fact, I can't even hear me. I can't even hear my higher power. I just am lost in the food. And I'm really fooling myself if I believe just a little bit of food, just a little bit of food. Yeah, then you'll still hear from me. One day we're told he's back in the hospital. So there you go. The word comes back to them. Did he reach out? Did he ask for help? I don't know, but he's back in the hospital and they're right there for him. And that's what I found with this fellowship and with this dedication. He's shaky, anxious to see us. he soon indicated he was anxious to see us. So now he's anxious. He's shaky. He wants a solution. He wants something. He knows it isn't working. And he told us a story. Boy, can I tell a story about my binge? You know, and how many times have I tried to explain or tell a story that it was good or bad? No excuse for drinking here. He knew he had to stop drinking, but I want to go in the story. Well, this happened, then this happened. Anytime I'm in the story, I'm just in the drama of my own life. This morning I was out doing my spiritual time and exercise in the Garden of the Gods. And there are rocks that are so much bigger than me, so much stronger, have stood the test of time. Life is not really about my story. Life is about a power greater than me that sees me as just a part of this world, another bozo on the bus. I have been flat on my back. If you need to know more, just ask. 300 pounds, bedbound, unable to get out of my bed for 4 months. Screaming like an animal, flat on my back. This disease has brought me there. And today I'm walking. I have plenty of problems, but today there's a solution because I am the problem and my higher power loves me anyway and helps me through these steps and this book and a life of abstinence. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie B., for getting us started. So again, we are going to be reading in Chapter 3 more about alcoholism on page 40, the first paragraph, beginning with, "We heard no more of Fred for a while." Who would like to share on that paragraph?
Barbara
Kathleen
P.
Was that Barbara G.?
P, like Peter.
P and Peter. Thank you, Barbara.
Janice P.
Janice PM, and I heard, did I hear a Leslie?
No, you heard Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. Kathleen O. Who else would like to share? Hello, who would like to share? Got three more spots here. Star 1 done.
Yes, Rob.
Raj.
Rob, R-O-B.
What's your name?
Rob, R-O-B.
Rob. Okay, Rob, what's your last initial, please?
Y.
Y as in yellow?
Yep.
Thank you, Rob. Okay, we got two more. Who was that behind Rob?
Roz G.
Roz G. We got a Rob and a Roz. That's why it was kind of on here. Thanks, Roz G. Okay, and who else would like to share?
Darcy C.
Darcy C. And who was that next person? I'll put you on the next lineup.
Caprina M.
Did you say Sabrina?
Caprina.
Caprina.
Yes.
Okay, Caprina M. Okay, we'll put you on the next round. You'll be the first one on there, okay? All right, so Barbara P., please get us started. Star 1 to unmute,
Hi.
Please, Barbara.
Yep, got it. Good morning. This
Good
is Barbara P. Yeah, I'm in the Atlanta area and recovered compulsive overeater. And what struck me today were two lines. Here was a chap absolutely convinced. And, I did. I found myself absolutely convinced. I knew I had to stop. I had to stop for my health. I had to stop for my mental health. I had to stop if I wanted to keep working and have relationships and all those things. I saw where it was going. You know, and then it goes on to say, yeah, he's successful in all these other areas. Which I found myself. I was really functional, but no one knew. I was just empty inside, and there was nothing. But, you know, the other thing that really struck me was, yet flat on his back, nevertheless, and I thought, what does that look like for me? Because I knew when I first came in, my bottom was very low, but the reality was, with my last relapse, because I was a chronic relapser, and I want to speak to that. Flat on my back didn't look as bad, and that fooled me. That fooled me. But all I knew was that any time in my relapses, when I didn't wake up until I was like 30 pounds more, they were so subtle. They started so gently, but within months, I had gained 30 pounds. And I never noticed it before 30. I don't know why that seems to be my number, but all of a sudden I'd wake up and go, how did this happen? Like banging my fist on the bar. So flat on my back this last time was 30 pounds. It was, and growing fast, because by that time I had fallen off the cliff, you know. And then the other piece of that was I was thinking, oh, I'm exhausted. Why? I don't even want to do this. I don't want to do this life. This, what is the purpose? Is this all there is? I was so depressed. I was so shaken. So when he says he was shaky, because I think it wasn't even just his physical condition. I'm guessing it was his mental condition too. And he had no reason to be doing this. That's the baffling part of this disease. He had every reason to stop. If there was something else that I needed to stop, I would. With this, I couldn't. I would have if I could have. And I had to accept that for me to really start to recover. So that to me is such a beautiful step one that he took. Thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Barbara P. And Janice PM, you're up, followed by Kathleen O. Janice?
Well, thank you so much, Sherry KB. My name is Janice PM, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the East, Boston, Massachusetts. I love these Californians. Anyway, we heard no more of Janice. That's what they used to say. Have you seen Janice around, you know, at the meetings? No, geez, I don't know what she's doing. I don't know if she's out there researching, which I was. And because you know why I left? And I did. I left, and then I would go a meeting and nod. But I thought in my mind that I could do it myself. After all, I was in for a lot of years, and I knew how to do this, and I knew how to do that. But I didn't have any God. I-K-N-O. Knowledge, but there was no power within me. I could stop, like a lot of us. We can diet very good. We're professional dieters, some of us. And but I didn't know how to stay stopped. And I was trying and trying for that mental obsession, you know, for that willpower to come, for that more self-knowledge to come, for more experiences with the different programs to come. And it never came. It never came. And, you know, I had, I figured on the outside, I had everything going, like Fred. I like Fred. We all like Fred because we don't have to be in the bushes. You know, we don't have to be in the street. We can be on the top of the hill and still be a compulsive overeater. But if I don't know I'm a compulsive overeater, I will never strive to get to that goal of how I can be fixed, how my mental obsession can be removed, you know, to give me strength, to give me sanity. I'm doomed if that mental obsession isn't removed by, for me, by my higher power, who I found more, a better relationship, a more spiritual relationship with as I implemented these steps. And I was so arrogant and proud, like Fred. Oh, I'm okay. I got the knowledge now, like Bill. Oh, yeah, I've arrived, you know. Yeah, pride before the fall, the very first thing that happens. And when I know that everything is good with me, I got to go, uh-oh, watch out. Don't be so cocky. Don't be so arrogant. This disease is sly. It's slick, and it's wicked. And I'm no match for this disease, let me tell you, all this time. And I do have a short memory. My brain lies to me. And that's what happened to Fred. He believed the lie, the L-I-E in believe. So was the answer self-knowledge? No. On the basis of self-knowledge and experience? No. Full knowledge of my condition and my willpower? No. And so, because knowledge is not all powerful, especially mine, it wasn't. Thank you so much. And I found the power because I lacked the power to keep stopped. And I pass on that. Thank you.
And thank you, Janice PM. Kathleen O, you're up, followed by Rob Y. Kathleen O.
Good morning, Sherry KB.
This is Kathleen O. Trying to get my timer here right. Kathleen O, recovered in California, and thank you for your service this morning, Sherry. And good morning, everyone on Vision. So we heard no more of Fred for a while. One day we were told he was back in the hospital and flat on his back. So flat on his back, I'm trying to find where that is. Anyway, oh yeah, the last part. Yet he was flat on his back nevertheless. What that looked like with me was sitting back in front of the TV, binging my brains out. And, you know, this paragraph, it really does scream step one. His whole story screams step one. We, you know, Fred needed to, I mean, he didn't think he was that bad. He had everything going for him. He had a wife, he had kids, people liked him. But he was in the mindset that his life was going well, and he felt his own knowledge and experience with alcohol would keep him sober. And, you know, for me, I needed to toss out the old ideas. I sat for years thinking I'm not that bad as I would continue to eat. And I had to toss out old ideas just like Fred did and be open to a power greater than myself that was available to me. And so, you know, if you're struggling, it's truly about being willing to believe, because you too can have recovery. You know, the 12 steps, they're the road to freedom. And it's freedom from thinking about food all day, you know, food consuming our every thoughts. That's how it was for me. And it was miserable. You know, we're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. And it's certainly been my experience. So we need to put the alcoholic foods down, just like Fred had to put the alcohol down. And any food that takes up headspace is likely a food that should be out of a food plan. And, you know, Fred had to realize he would never be able to control alcohol once he picked up. And I know for me, I had to realize anything with flour, sugar, fat, quantities, I'd never be able to control. And including alcoholic behaviors like sitting in front of the TV or eating with distractions. I had to let go of those things. And we do get a freedom in this program, and the steps are the path to the freedom. So keep going, guys. And thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. And Rob Y. is in yellow. You're up, followed by Roz G. Rob? Star 1 to unmute, please. You there, Rob?
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I'm unmuted. Hi, Rob Overita, thanks. For your service, thanks for the meeting. It's my first online meeting, actually. I haven't been to OA meetings for a number of years. I am in some other fellowships. And recently, food has become a bit of an issue again. It's a good reading. It's about this powerlessness for me, and I'm going through step one in another program. It's asking me, you know, am I powerless over my food, actually? It's asking about food and drugs and sex and all that kind of thing. And I really find it difficult to admit it, because on the surface I seem to manage. I'm not overweight, I'm not underweight, you know, I from the outside I eat healthily, you know, I don't really have a problem with food. From the inside, I'm obsessed, not just with food, that's one aspect, but it's the thing I've not really dealt with the steps, and one of the main reasons I haven't dealt with it is because the the food plans frighten the living lights out of me. I am a complete control freak. I micromanage everything, and I trained as a professional musician, and I just am very good at managing every tiny little nuance. And I don't feel like I have a problem micromanaging my food. I would do it to the microgram, but At the moment, I'm trying to move away from that level of control and handing it over to a higher power, and so I find it very difficult and also for me, it's at the moment, I'm learning I have a voice. I've never had a voice. So previously, when I was in OA, if someone suggested something, I didn't have a choice. Of course, I had to do it if somebody else had suggested it. And if it was a sponsor type character, well, absolutely, there's no way I could possibly do anything else. So I rebel immediately about the idea of controlling anything. But maybe there's a middle ground, and I know there are people in OA that, you know, there's more than one way to do it. And so, you know, that gives me hope. I mean, I've read this section many times in the big book, in different fellowships, and I've literally been flat on my back today. I haven't been able to do very much else. Because of fear about not, you know, just the world and shame relating to food as well. Because even though I say I'm not eating particularly unhealthily, I am aware of my weight, and then, you know, my attractiveness comes into the light, and I think, I'm going to put on loads of weight. Thank you very much. All right, I'll leave it there. Thank you. Thanks for the meeting.
And thank you, Rob. And stay on the line, and after we do the serenity prayer, and get some names and phone numbers of sponsors. Welcome back. Roz
All right,
G, you're welcome. Roz G, you're up, followed by Darcy C. Roz?
Good morning. My name is Roz G, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And I would like to talk about We Heard No More of Fred, and I'd like to put that in this context. We heard no more of Roz telling her sponsor what she eats every day. I've had sponsors tell me, you know what to eat. You know, we'll go over the food for a while, and then it becomes mundane, and the sponsor will say, you know what to eat. And that is not good for me. And I'm not saying it's nobody was wrong. I'm just pointing out a place in my recovery that cannot happen for me anymore. And what happens is I'm going to tell you, I'm a health teacher. I teach English, and I also teach health, healthful living. And a big portion of my curriculum is nutrition. But when it comes to compulsive overeating and putting food in my mouth, I am clueless, gloriously clueless, happily clueless. I need help. So the last one was cauliflower pizza. Cauliflower pizza. Well, the crust is made of cauliflower. So I can eat cheese and I can eat tomato sauce. So I'll eat that. But my food history has been a progression of eating one, two, and a whole pizza. So what did I start to do? I didn't even go to one slice of cauliflower pizza. I ate the whole thing once again. Then that went to Clif Bars. And Clif Bars are in the health section, but they are just the same as a freaking Kit Kat bar. So I got once again into lethargy and sleepiness. So I had to tell someone if I'm going to, I need help. So I told somebody, and I'm on the straight and narrow path again, but weighing with the bowl, measuring, looking at the measurements, and looking to see what a serving really looks like. It doesn't matter that I'm a health teacher and that I have a credential. It's just my profession. But when it comes to me as a compulsive overeater, Roz G, I cannot do this alone. I have to wear the hat of a humble and willing baby into the hands of my sponsor, the meetings, people who know it, and God. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Time. Hello? Okay. Thank you, Rossi. And before we hear from Roz, before we hear from Darcy C, just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 40, paragraph 1. We heard no more of Fred. We're going to read that one paragraph only. So after we hear from Darcy C, I'll take some more phone numbers, more names. So Darcy C, you're up.
Good morning, Darcy C.
I'm sorry, no, just Darcy C, please.
Good morning. This is Darcy C, recovering in Kentucky. Thank you so much for your service. I think the thing that really stood out to me was
Darcy, we can't hear you. Did you star one to mute? Please star one to unmute, Darcy. Darcy? Okay. Darcy.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
I thought
I was unmuted. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. This is Darcy C., recovering in Kentucky. Thank you so much for your service. I think the line that really stood out to me was, you know, just that no one heard from Fred for a while. And that has just been such a big part of my journey and my disease, because I'm such a people person and I love people, but this disease can have me isolating so quickly. And, you know, I feel like I've only been around for a few months, and I see how each time that I have found myself in relapse, it's been the same pattern. You know, I'm normal body weight, and I feel like I have just been struggling with the diet mentality. So I come and I get just a little more knowledge and feel like I'm doing okay. And then I can find myself slowly isolating because I'm telling myself a lie that I can have a little bit of this or a little bit of that. And before long, nobody's going to hear from me. And I'm going to be right back in the food. And so I think just learning that, you know, honesty is such a big part of this program if I want to get well, and being real about it. And, you know, the requirement to be on the phone with several fellows a day, that to me has been such a huge help, because you can't isolate if you are doing these steps and you're using the tools. You can't hide when you are talking to at least three people a day. And so for me, that is my safeguard against that isolation. As long as I'm willing to be honest when I'm on the phone with my fellows, then I am not going to be hiding and I'm not going to be disappearing again. So I really appreciate it. And I appreciate the tools, and I appreciate you all being here. And that is all I have. I will pass.
Thank you, Darcy C. So I'm going to take some more lineup. We're on page 40, paragraph 1. I have Carpina M. first, and I'll take five more names. Who would like to share?
Robin P.
Lance L. I heard Lance L.
Patty T.
Two more names.
Kathy W.
I'm sorry, somebody W?
Kathy W.
And
Rachel
B. I think I heard a Rachel. And
Brooke M.
Irene B.
Okay.
I think
I heard a Brooke and Irene. I'm not sure if I can get you guys in, but let me see what I can do, okay? So, Rachel, what was the initial of your last name, please? Rachel? Okay. We'll wait and get that from her. So, Carpina M., please begin. Star one to unmute, Carpina.
Okay, I'm sorry. I unmuted myself as you were telling me how much to read.
Okay. Carpina, go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Am I reading the next paragraph?
No, you're sharing if you'd like to.
Okay, just on the paragraph we were still talking about.
That's correct. I just remind everybody where we're at halfway through.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people have already commented on it, but when I'm in the food, I find ways to tell myself that I'm actually okay. I actually have recovered and I have all these new good ideas in my head and I've got some good mentoring from my sponsor and now I think I can take it from here. And I have to say that to myself to pretend like that's what I'm doing, to pretend like I'm not back in the food. And then it gets to a point where it's undeniable again. And then I, you know, this has happened a couple times to me where I'm like, you know what? I had the most peace in working the steps. Why did I stop doing that? And I think sometimes the answer is because it was getting a little maybe boring. Like maybe I was finally settled and my nerves were not through the roof all the time and I was feeling like a normal human again. And then I start forgetting what has granted me that sanity. And it's that constant connection. It's that constant work that I put in to stay connected to my higher power, to turn over my resentments and my anger and my other defects in 10 steps. And when I feel that peace, I get lulled into this just happy state of like, oh, everything's great. And I forget to be thankful. And that thankfulness keeps me aware that it's the hard work that I'm putting in that is granting me that peace, and then I slip and I have to return. And I just want to find a way to not do that anymore. But I am gratefully recovered today, and at least for today, I'm keeping it very clear in my mind that even though it's been months since I've felt the insanity, it's because I'm still doing those things every day. And with that, I'll pass.
Carpina M. Robin P., you're up, followed by Lance L. Robin?
Hi, thanks so much for your service. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And, you know, I've done my share of disappearing for years at a time when I first came in and I left after 2.5 years. I was on a very strict weight and measured gray sheet program, and it just, you know, I overeat and I couldn't get abstinence back. And until I came into the program almost 4 years ago, thank God, by the grace of God, I'm grateful to be abstinent. And, you know, I just wanted to say for myself that, you know, I was helping my mom. She's 87. I went on a cruise with her for a couple of weeks. And it was like a binge fest for people. I was so grateful to be abstinent. And I'm, you know, I just felt like people were just, I was so grateful to be in recovery. And, you know, I asked for what I needed and, you know, so I didn't disappear. Even though I was gone for 2 weeks, I still listened to recorded meetings and reached out as much as I could, even though there was a time difference. And I'm just so grateful not to disappear, you know. And I wanted to say I'm a gluten-free vegan. I personally love animals too much to eat them, and so it's a conscious choice for me. But everyone has their own path. So if someone's new, I just wanted to say that I don't binge, I don't vomit, I don't starve. The weighing and measuring didn't work for me. It felt too perfectionistic for me. But this is what does work for me, and with my sponsor, she's the same way. But everyone finds their path, you know, and so I just wanted to say that. So it's, you can hear all different kinds of abstinence, and it's between God and me and with the help of my sponsor, I found what works for me one day at a time. And I'm really grateful. It doesn't feel like I'm controlling the food. It feels like I'm surrendering the food. God bless everybody in your recovery. With that, I pass.
Robin P., Lance L., you're up, followed by Patty T. Lance?
Morning, everyone. My name is Lance L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in California. You know, like, reading this paragraph, I think, like, where did Fred go? You know, like, we never heard of Fred for a while, you know, and Fred went into the hospital. His idea, what he told himself, was to rest his nerves in the hospital. You know, he needed a break from the life he was living, you know, with his business, with his family, with all these kind of things. And with his alcoholism, they didn't mix well for him. And, you know, so Fred all of a sudden came back to the hospital. You know, so where did he go? You know, what I read into this paragraph, I see that Fred has a life. Like, he's got priorities. He's got responsibilities. He's got all of these things. But how does that play into his recovery, or how does all of these things help him in his recovery? Well, the thing is it never helps me. It never helps me because I'm at work right now, you know, and this weekend, you know, I've got things in different cities that I'm taking my kids to, and I have responsibilities with my wife at night and all these kind of things. So, you know, all those priorities for me, my mind tells me that those things come first. But what's really necessary is looking at this, that the main problem of alcoholism centers in our mind. We read about that already. And if it does, then in all things, in all of my affairs, this alcoholic mindset, this mental twist that we have is following me. It's following me everywhere. And, you know, I have to realize that I'm going to have priority. But the main thing in my life to stay sober today is to grow closer towards God. And the way I do that is working through 10 steps, 11 steps, 12 steps. You know, first getting through 1 to 9 and then working all the others. Well, there's been times in my life where I've had to do 10 steps before I even eat a meal. You know, because if I'm centered before I eat a meal, you know, I have this thinking even when eating meals. You know, it's not my safe haven when I eat meals. It's actually very dangerous, even if I'm on a food plan, even if I'm eating very clean food. It's very dangerous for me to be consuming food. So I have to realize that, you know, in all of my affairs, I need to put these things. And, you know, Fred keeps coming back to the hospital. This is a progressive thing. It's getting worse for him. You know, Fred's conceding to the ideas that he has some of these symptoms. You know, to concede to something is fighting it and resisting it, and then all of a sudden accepting it. You know, I have to see that the fact of my life is I'm a compulsive overeater. And because I'm a compulsive overeater, it follows me in all areas of my life. Thank you, and have a great day. Pass.
Thank you, Lance L. Patty T., Kathy W., and Rachel, last minute. We have about 8 minutes left, so if you could take about 2.5 each, we'll get you all in. Patty T.?
Hi. Thank you, Sherry. This is Patty T., grateful, a recovered compulsive eater in Los Angeles. You know what? I just want to say that what struck me here is he soon indicated he was anxious to see us, and then ellipsis, for he was a chap absolutely convinced he had to stop, absolutely convinced. And that reminds me of what it felt like, you know, when I was in my last relapse. I was absolutely convinced I had to stop, but I couldn't. But I could not indicate to anyone else that I needed help. My will was in the way. And this is the thing, you know, I exhibited splendid judgment in all my other affairs. I had no excuse for overeating. I live alone. There's nobody provoking me, right? And determination in all other concerns, that was a well-honed willfulness. Determination is willfulness, but it can also be tenacity, you know, and this big book and these steps teach me all of that. So today, you know, this paragraph just reminds me of what it was like. And today I get to assert my will to do God's will in respect to my own willfulness, my own character defect. I get to learn and grow, and I've been doing that since I got on these in this fellowship, and I cannot thank all of you enough for all of your help and encouragement. Boy, have I got a great God squad. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Patty T., Kathy W., followed by Rachel. Kathy W.?
Hi, this is Cassie W., a compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. I guess the thing that stands out to me, Fred has like two problems. I don't think he went through the steps. We read in the previous chat paragraphs that he took step one. He has self-knowledge, allergy of the body. He got it, but he didn't go past that, I don't think. So my relation with that is that I'm a chronic relapser too. And I do step one, step two, step three, and then I binge over and over. And it's been a cycle for about 6 months. And it's just because I haven't been able to do all the steps. And that's essential. All the recovered people on the line that are successful because they've done all 12 steps. And then I think Fred's other problem, or at least like for me, sometimes it's shame. That's why like I disappear. Like people in this fellowship are so nice and so giving, and they're always willing to be there. And like when, even when I disappear for a little while, it's like welcome home. And like that's a beautiful thing. But at the same time, sometimes I feel like I'm letting the fellowship down, and it's, you disappear into shame and you just keep eating and keep eating. And it's detrimental. It's sometimes like maybe it slows down the process for me, that I feel like I'm letting people down. But I think recovery has to be for yourself. And I guess with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Cassie W. Rachel, you've got about 2 minutes. Rachel, last initial, please.
I think I'm Rachel, but my name's Grace O.D.
Rachel D. Thank you. You have 2 minutes, please. Go ahead, Chair.
Hi there. It's Grace O.D. Calling from Oxford in the United Kingdom. Really grateful to have these online meetings. I've got life stuff going on at the moment, which has stopped me being able to access one of our two face-to-face meetings. You know, I just can't afford to decrease my meetings and not do anything to make that better. I need to hear the big book, and I need to hear other people talk about food in a way that I remember that I am not like other people when it comes to food. I'm also a chronic relapser, so I really relate to our friend in the chapter. And there was so many times when I'm alone and I'm not doing something, busy, and I cancel calls from...
Rachel, I'm sorry to... Can you move to another place that is less...
Is this better?
Yes. Thank you, Rachel. Go ahead, please.
So, yeah, it's especially, you know, I find when I'm isolating, it's nearly... I would love to be able to catch my disease a few steps ahead of that. Because when I'm isolating, I'm already binging or I'm already starving myself. I'm already taking my own willpower back over my food plan. Usually the things that come first is I start making decisions about my food plan without talking to my sponsor and without talking to other fellows, not sharing it in meetings. And I just had to grass up something like that this morning. And thankfully, I still have my abstinence. But normally, I would only be reaching out several steps from now when the decision I've made about what I think I should and shouldn't be eating has led to a complete relapse. So I'm at rock bottom again, staying up all night with the curtains closed, watching horror films and binging. And I'm just so grateful for this 24 hours to have freedom from that. Thank you. Done.
And thank you, Rachel D. Well, that's all the time we have today. And Brooke and Irene, I'm sorry we didn't get to you today. And I hope you come back on Monday. We'll be continuing to unpack our big book. And I just want to thank Team Friday. Let's see, we have, what a great meeting this morning, folks. Thank you so much for all your shares and all those that listened. So we have Karen B. on the 12 Steps, Athena B. on the 12 Traditions, Reader of our text was Julie E. B., Janice P.M., and Don B. Our newcomer greeter is Mo H., and announcements are Leslie W. So with that, I just want to thank all of us for the shares this morning. You were awesome. And now we will close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Janice P.M., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Janice?
Certainly. Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you.